T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, a Tuesday afternoon. Now, we were told over the weekend that there was going to be this gigantic stimulus package, right? We were going to help Americans who, as a result of this Chinese coronavirus situation, might lose their jobs, might lose some of their income, would be in difficult straits. First, we heard it was $1,000 per person, then it was $1,200 per person. But it was going to be quick, and what was the vital part of this, we heard, was that Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, along with Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, had hammered this out. They were ready to roll. And then what happened? Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, said, whoa, wait a minute now. I want to decorate this thing like it's a Christmas tree. I got a whole bunch of favors that I need to pay back, and we're not getting anything done till I get my ornaments hung on this tree. So I don't know where we are right now. Congressman Rob Whitman is my congressman, and I'm happy to say that he's with us. Congressman, thanks for being here.
Jeff, it's great to be on with you this afternoon.
It's wonderful to hear your voice. Can you give us some insight from D.C. exactly what's going on with this coronavirus stimulus or aid package?
Well, Jeff, the latest information that I have is that both Mitch McConnell, Secretary Mnuchin, Chuck Schumer are close to getting a bill that will garner the necessary 60 votes in the Senate. Remember, in the Senate, it's a little bit different than the House. It has to have that 60 votes in order for the bill to come to the floor. So it's my understanding that they are close to getting that. I had heard earlier in the day that there might be a cloture vote today. I don't know if that's still in the offing, but the understanding is hopefully, if not late today, then first thing tomorrow to be able to move this along. But as you pointed out, you know, the concern of many of us all along is to make sure that we are meeting the needs of individuals and especially of small businesses, but not loading this thing up with a bunch of additional spending or a bunch of language that benefits special interests. And as you pointed out, with the bill that was proposed by the Speaker in the House, that certainly goes in quite the opposite direction of what many of us feel needs to happen, and that is to be direct and fiscally responsible with this bill moving forward. We hope that that's ultimately what comes out of the Senate, of course. And the next step is, you know, how will the House take this up? Yeah. Will the House come back into town? Will all members be required to come in and vote? You know, there is the ability to take this up on what's called a suspension calendar, which is something that is usually reserved for things that are non-controversial. And then you could have a voice vote, which means you don't have to have the full complement of the 435 members of the House there. So that's going to be the next step, to see how procedurally they go forward. I am glad that the Speaker and the Chairman of the Rules Committee, Chairman McGovern, has said that they do not believe that members should be able to, nor do I believe is it constitutional for members to vote by proxy. So that's a good thing. I think our founding fathers had in mind, you had to be there in person to go ahead and cast that vote, no matter the circumstances. But again, we'll see what happens, assuming that this gets out of the Senate here rather quickly and gets over to the House.
Congressman Rob Whitman is joining us. Rob represents the first district here in Virginia. It's my district. You know, Rob, I look around my friends and neighbors in this community where I live, but also where we go and shop and eat. I mean, we are a community here of small businesses, men and women, and I worry about them. I worry about folks I know who have, Jake's Place on Route 54. It's a beautiful little mm-hmm. place, and it's literally a mom and pop operation, and folks who have got some retail stores here or there. I mean, how do they make it through this if folks are still playing all sorts of games in D.C.?
Well, and Jeff, you hit the nail on the head. This is really about what are we going to do to help small businesses make their way through this. I mean, there's a balance for government. We do need to do everything we can to protect life. And certainly a disease outbreak like this, those things are being done. But we cannot forget the impact that this will have on people's lives. As you point out, those small businesses, listen, I've talked to literally hundreds of them over the past week who are facing the same thing, the uncertainty, their employees who are now not working, or if they are working through the carryout business in a restaurant, it's much, much reduced business. And remember another thing, think about this, carryout, you normally don't get a tip in when you're working carryout. So if you're there working, for a low wage as carryout, you're not getting the tips that you would as if you're waiting tables. So this has all kinds of these unintended consequences. And I can tell you a number of these people that I've talked to, and just as you said, family restaurants, yep. The family runs a restaurant. They are concerned. I've talked to a number of them. They said, Rob, I don't know that I can survive this. I don't know that I'll have anything to come back to after this. And remember, it's not just the rent on the building or the salaries for employees, but it's also the inventory that these businesses had going into this. You know, you have to buy food, and now you've got a whole refrigerator full of food, and that has a shelf life on it. And if your volume goes down significantly, much of that is food that is going to have to be thrown out that you never get to earn a penny on. So it's not just the, paying the rent without much of the revenue coming in or keeping employees on. It's all these other unintended consequences. And remember, what's in this Senate bill are short-term loans that can be converted to grants, but it will only cover personnel costs, that is salaries, mm-hmm. and rent or a mortgage. So all these other costs, Jeff, are not going to be covered with that. And I've talked to folks that have said, Rob, what can you do to help? And I said, well, the Small Business Administration has these short-term loans. And they're like, Rob, I've got plenty of debt. I don't need any more debt. This isn't right. about me being able to survive with taking out another loan. Yeah. This is about me being able to pay my bills yep. and move forward. So that's a lot of the things, Jeff, that need to be addressed with this. I believe that as this third phase, as it's called, comes out and is unveiled and businesses see what's there to their avail, I do believe that there's probably going to be the need to go out with another effort to make sure that we're holding businesses whole, because if not, potentially we face a wholesale failure of a number of these small community-based businesses. And I can tell you that would be catastrophic for communities, catastrophic for the Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. And that is not only protecting people's lives and people that are susceptible to this coronavirus, but it's also protecting their economic well-being. I mean, this is about protecting people's health and well-being, but also protecting their economic well-being. I mean, those are obligations that we have, because remember, this whole situation was precipitated by the action of the government. And listen, I'm not questioning, we absolutely needed to take action, but we also need to be aware that what's happening now with our economy is not the fault, like it was with the financial crisis, with some poor decisions being made within financial institutions. This is wholly caused by the action of both the federal and state governments. And that's why it's incumbent upon us to make sure that we're going to stand up and make sure we help these businesses get through this.
Well, I'm inspired by that. Congressman Rob Whitman is joining us. He represents the first district here in Virginia. He is my congressman, and very, very happy that he is. One of the things that I'm concerned with, Rob, education. Look, I've got a house now. I've got three kids here. One is back from college because that's closed down. But I've got two teenagers, and you know my daughter has severe disabilities. I am concerned. I heard the governor say, "Well, that's it. We're closing everything down through the entire academic year." And I didn't hear anything after that. How are families in Hanover County supposed to make sure that our kids can compete? And what happens, and I know this is not necessarily your bailiwick, but I want your opinion. What happens if some other state says, you know what, we've got a handle on this. Our schools are opening up in another week. And those kids now have an additional 6 months of education that our kids here in Hanover or in Henrico don't have.
Well, Jeff, that's a great point. You know, my wife's a school teacher. This is her 40th year of teaching school, and I can tell you she's expressed to me concerns about schools being closed for the remainder of the year. She's an elementary school teacher. She's a reading specialist. So making sure that children keep up their reading skills, and here's a simple situation that is based upon fact. Children, many times from families where the mother and father work and are away from home, see a regression in their reading scores after being away during the summertime, and then they have to remediate them because they just don't get read to at home. And it's, listen, many times it's not because the mom and dad don't want to, it's because they have to be out working. So now it's a challenge, too, of families in dealing with children at home with mom and dad out working. And then additional months of these children, unless there is a very, very specific effort to keep the instructional level up, for them to fall further behind. And then the challenge for parents who now need some form of child care. Yeah. And the question then becomes, well, are we going to put them back into a situation where, because any other child care facilities, you know, bring groups of people together in close proximity. So the question is, you know, is that just shifting the problem to another area? And then you're right. I know just North Carolina, I know the schools there closed until May 15th. So they're going to continue at least a portion of the school year there to complete that. Now, listen, things may change between now and then. But think about that. It's not just that. But think about if you are a senior in high school, and now the school year is not going to be finished out. And then the question then becomes, is there even going to be a graduation ceremony? So, listen, there are all kinds of things that go into this. And I understand that the president and all of our governors have very, very difficult decisions to make. But you are exactly right in looking at, you know, what happens not just in the short-term well-being of individuals and our children, but what happens to their long-term well-being. And you have to be able to look at all of those things. And some of this ground, it's going to be really difficult to make up. I mean, you know, time is one of those things that you don't get back. So So in the scheme of things, the question is do you ever get this back? And if you do, how would you make up for that? I think those are really compelling questions and things that all of us have to look at.
Well, I appreciate that. Congressman Rob Whitman represents our first district. Yeah, not that it's about me or about the Katz family, but just on a personal basis, I know with my daughter, Rob, that with her disabilities, her entire life, she's 17 years old, she's always had the extended school year specifically so that she doesn't lose the skills that she has been able to accumulate thanks to the wonderful special ed teachers and the therapists and everybody else that works in that special ed division. And, you know, I know it's just one case, but I know we've got, again, in your district, we've got hundreds, if not thousands of kiddos that are dealing with disabilities and special needs. And then we've got kids, again, at the in the standard classrooms as well as advanced. And it's just the impact to each of them is going to be unique, but it's going to be long lasting. And I do worry about that.
Yeah, I do too, Jeff. And you know, we do a lot in our school systems to take care of those students that have a variety of challenges or are not keeping up with where they need to be on a level, whether it's reading or math or wherever it may be, to make sure that they're making progress. You know, it's all about progress. And when they don't, you want to make sure that you're helping out. The problem right now is that, you know, the question is how do you help students continue to make progress all of them are special needs students, the average student, the student that excels. I mean, all of those are elements where if you are now not going to be in a formal classroom setting between now and August, middle August to early September, whenever schools go back in, that's a lot to make up. And the question is how do you do it? And it's not like you can just say, hey, we'll start in August and we'll just double down in the next school year. You just it becomes an impossible hill to climb to make all of that back. So the question is what do we do in the interim? And listen, you know, my wife Catherine has been, you know, writing school lessons for students for them to be delivered to their homes. But the key with that too is that only goes so far. And at some point, you do need a teacher there to, you know, when the student's got a question, or to make sure the student's making that progress, to make sure you're measuring what's happening with the students. And parents, you know, can do a lot, and I know that they will do a lot, but it's also an education system that requires there to be that teacher-student connection. And boy, if you don't have that for this extended period of time, you're right. It is going to have an impact. I don't know what that impact might be. I hope we do everything we can to minimize it, but I do believe that there'll be an impact.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I appreciate you taking time to be here. I appreciate everything that that your wife continues to do as a school teacher to help her students. And we'll certainly check back in again soon to find out where this package is coming out of D.C. to help some of our friends and neighbors here who are small business owners.
Well, Jeff, we'll definitely do that. And please, your listeners, they can come to our website. It's Wittman, WITTMAN.house.gov. We are giving up-to-date information as quickly as it comes out of Washington to folks, so they can either go to our website, they can sign up for our e-newsletters, and we put that information directly out there. My job is to get as much current substantive information out to people as possible. So please, folks can come to our website, then they can go to our Facebook page, they can subscribe to our e-newsletter. We will get as much information out as we can. We've been doing a series of town halls. We did one last night for all of our local government officials. We're going to do another one tomorrow night for folks in the first district, another one with local government officials on Friday. So we're trying to keep pace and create a tempo with folks so we get that current information out there. So I just want to let people know the things that we're doing and encourage them to stay in touch. Call our office, go to our website or Facebook page. A number of our office is 202-225-4261. We want to hear from you. If you've got issues, I know there are a lot of them out there with your business, with your individual health condition, with your children, whatever it may be, please, please, please call us or go to our Facebook page or our website.
Excellent. Well, thank you so very much. That is Congressman Rob Wittman, represents the first district here in Virginia. As I've said many times, he is my congressman, and happy that he is so responsive and so forward thinking as he is. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.